Everybody wants to walk in health. I love it. For the first 30 years of my life, I didn't know these principles, and I was down in my back at least six times, and maybe eight. And every time I'd go down in my back, guess who I would always go to for help? A doctor. Was I a Christian? Absolutely. Had I ever heard any of this teaching? No, never heard it. I didn't even know Jesus was a healer. I know he used to heal back there 2,000 years ago. I didn't know he still did it today. In the Baptist church I was raised up in, I never saw anybody get prayed for healing. I never saw anybody get healed. And to do a miracle, to see God step in and do a miracle when some man prays over somebody or commands something to see it happen, I certainly didn't believe that. But now then, I know he will do that when you step into this world of faith, walk with God. There ain't nothing impossible with us, his children. But he says there, the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Verse 27 and 28. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, which is about $3,000. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that you owe me. Now, isn't that amazing? If I owed the Lord $4 billion, and he said, I'm fixing to take you and your wife and your children and everything else, and I'm going to just tear you up. And I fall on my knees and say, Lord, I repent. I repent. Please, if you'll just give me time, I will pay everything I owe you. I will forgive. He said, well, okay, if you tell me you will, I'm going to believe you. So, okay, now I'm going to raise you up and dust you off. Now then, you're okay. Go pat me on the bottom and say, go do something good for me now. So I walk out and I see Richard. I said, Richard, you owe me $3,000. I want my money right this second. He says, but Thurman, I don't have it right now, but be patient with me, I'll get it. And I reach up and grab him by the nape of the neck and say, no, I ain't going to be patient with you. I want my $3,000 right this minute or I'm going to throw you in jail. And he said, well, I don't have it. So I throw him in jail. In other words, I didn't forgive him. Now, who just forgave me that humongous debt? The Lord. And here, my brother owes me a little dinky debt. I mean, I realize there's not a whole lot of difference between $3,000 and $4 billion. It's not much, is it, Richard? That is a humongous debt, isn't it? $4 billion, I can't even count that high. Let's see what the Lord says there, verse 29 and 30. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he would not. But he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Wow, what a nice guy. 31 and 32. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, oh, you wicked servant. Now, how many of you would like for God to call you a wicked servant? I've read too many places in the Bible what happens to the wicked, haven't you? How they will be cut off suddenly, how they will die in poverty. I mean, there's a lot of scary things in the Bible about what happens to the wicked. And who would ever dream that God would call us wicked because we got out of a love walk? We get out of a love walk with God. We get out of a love walk with our brothers. Then he says to that wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me or asked me. Shouldest not you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was angry or wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was done. Now, who did he deliver him to? You know what I used to see when I would read that scripture? I went to too many movies when I was a kid. You know, whenever that somebody would get captured somewhere and they would tie you to a wheel or something, you know, and they'd tighten that deal, had a rope on it, and they'd just keep stretching you out. You had ropes on your arms or ropes on your feet, and they would torment people. They would be wanting to get information from somebody to tell them where the other guy was or something, and they'd put ropes on them, and they'd crank this thing up, and these people are being pulled apart. You know, you can only stand so much of that, and nobody likes pain. And it says here, and he turned him over to the tormentors. Who do you believe these spiritual beings are that God's talking about when he says tormentors? Who are they? The devil and his host of demons. I can't even comprehend the fact that I got into unforgiveness towards somebody and God the Father says, Satan, come here. Now, does Satan obey God? I guarantee he obeys him. He made him. When he says, Satan, come here, You see that man right there? His name's Thurman Scrivener. And he did not forgive his brother that little $3,000 debt that he owed after I forgive him all of his sins and all that multitude. So I am turning him and his wife and his children and his assets over to you. Go get him. What do you think the devil would do to me? That's exactly right, young lady. He would say, oh, yes, I've been wanting to get him. So he would just roll his hands together and he would come in there and he would get me. Of course, God might not do it like that. He might do it like he did with Job. He might say, Satan, you have access to him and his world, but you can't touch him. And so the devil comes in and Job had 10 beautiful children. How many of them did the devil kill the first day? All 10. How would you like to lose 10 children at one time? That wouldn't be very good, would it? And then he didn't stop there either. His financial world, all of his crops, he burned them. All of his animals, he sold them. He destroyed Job. And then when he came back, the Lord and him had a little discussion, and this time the Lord says, this time you can do anything to him, his body, but you cannot take his life. And did Job suffer? Oh, did he suffer? And you know when you're suffering in pain and agony, you know how easy it is to say, oh God, just go ahead and kill me and take me home. I'm ready. I'm suffering. So, you know, when you're in pain, I'm sure y'all are just like I am. There's only one thing I hate more than pain. More pain. I guarantee I hate pain. And when I learned it comes from God, because of my disobedience, it made it very easy for me to get right with God. Now look at this last verse, verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So if you do not forgive everybody completely 100%, the Father in heaven is going to send tormenting spirits, Satan and his host of demons, to you, your wife, your children, and your assets. Now, if you don't happen to have a wife and children, there's two pieces that's left out of this puzzle. But you will be there and your assets will be there. You always have something. That's why Jesus says it's not necessary that you just forgive them 7 times, but you forgive them how many times? 70 times 7. Is that right? 490 times. When you get this picture that in the new covenant, if we do not forgive, the Father in heaven will turn the tormenting spirits loose on us and our family. Are you beginning to understand why so many people that are in the kingdom of God, they're sick, their wife is sick, or their children is sick, or they have a problem with their finances? Can you see that? As children of the kingdom, we're supposed to be well, we're supposed to be blessed, we're not supposed to have any kind of sickness, and we're supposed to have all of our needs met. And if we don't live there, there's something wrong. We're not walking where we're supposed to be walking. We're not doing what God told us to do. If we do everything he said, if we go back to Exodus 15:26, he says, and if you, now, who is he talking to? Me. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, then I, God, will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth you. Now, under the old covenant, how much sickness and disease should they have had? If they obey, how much sickness would they have? None. There wouldn't have been none. Under the law. So we got a better covenant. Let's go now to Exodus 23:25-26. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. Now then, what does it mean to serve the Lord? Under the old covenant, if you and I are serving the Lord, let me ask you this. When you sit down in a restaurant to eat as a Christian, how many of you are willing to bless out loud everything that's brought to your table? Do you know all Christians are not there? Some of them, even the man, the spiritual leader of the home, won't even bless the food at the table at home. He'll go to church on Sunday, but he won't bless the food during the week. All I got to say, woo, are you a wimp? You know, and you ain't going to like what's going to happen to you. I guarantee if you're not producing fruit for the kingdom of God, you ain't going to like it. You may go to church on Sunday, but I've done my deal. That's all God expects of me as a man, and I even tithe. So yeah, if I go to church and I tithe, well then what more could God possibly expect from me? Well, he expects a whole lot more than that from you. And if you don't do what he says, there's a condition and a consequence. And most people don't even believe it. They don't know it. But under the old covenant, we see what he will do here. If we will put him first and do what he says he will bless our food and our water. Is that right? So if God, Mary, if God blesses your food and your water, what can you expect to be in every drop of food that you eat and every drop of water that you drink? What's going to be in it? Only good things that's for your body, right? So if you're obeying God, doing what he said, he will bless your food and your water. Is that right? Now, if Tony blesses that on top of that at home and in the restaurants wherever y'all eat, if he speaks a blessing over that and God promised to bless it already, what do you think is going to happen to everything y'all eat and drink? It'll be good. That's exactly right. It can't be nothing else. It's going to be good because God made you a promise. But let's say, for instance, you're a normal Christian. Well, I say normal Christian, I guess this would be even better than a normal Christian, because people that think they're normal, they don't even go to church every Sunday. They only go to church when they feel like it. Now, God told us in his word to go to church. He clearly said that. So let's say that we go to church every other Sunday and we tithe every other Sunday. The Sunday we don't go, we don't tithe. I've heard people tell me, well, I tithe on Sunday. I said, but do you get paid every week? Oh, yeah, I get paid every week. I get four times a month. Well, do you tithe out to the other ones? Well, no, I only tithe on the one I come. So I said, you know, then you steal 1 week from him and then you tithe 1 week. I got news for you. That ain't okay. God told you to give him 10% of all of your income. And you wonder why all the bad things happen to you? Well, you're not producing any fruit for the kingdom of God. Well, I'm going to church, but I only go every other Sunday or thereabout. And I'm not tithing, but every other Sunday, so which means I'm not tithing at all. Tithing means gives a 10%. And then, have you done anything for the kingdom of God lately? Well, no, Thurman, I got to work. You know, I have to go work every Monday. No, I work all day and I work long hours. I work 10, 12 hours a day. I don't have time to read the word. Well, as you go through the course of the day, do you talk to people about Jesus? Oh, no, I ain't got time and they won't let me talk about Jesus in the workplace. How do you know that if you don't talk to them? Well, I mean, I've heard somebody say that. Do I hear that a lot? That's an excuse. In America, we have allowed the enemy to take over. Are you producing fruit for the kingdom? Well, I guess really not. You know, I'm just going to church every other Sunday and I'm not telling nobody about Jesus. You never won nobody to Jesus? No. Never got nobody healed? No.
You have been listening to Thurman Scribner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled We Live in a Faith Kingdom, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.